Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I am wonderful. Yay for the proletariat. Down with the rich. Even if they are socially better.
I guess we'll have to talk about that a little bit. Hey, guys. How are you guys doing out there? We are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you gain access to all of our bonus content, including new episode reviews, weekly, monthly bonus episodes, all kinds of stuff. We are within shot of 2 monthly bonus episodes, so I encourage you to go check that out. Also, remind you guys to keep sending in questions. We're going to be doing a mailbag episode next month to make up for the time off for our Christmas vacation. So if you have questions for either me or Matt or both of us, Simpsons or non-Simpsons related, send them in. By the time you hear this, there will be a thread up on Facebook and on Twitter. Or you can just email us at simpsonsshowpod@gmail.com. Also, if you like the show, please give us a good review on iTunes, 5 stars, subscribe. All those good things helps us out. This week's episode, Matt, is Scenes from the Class Struggle in Springfield, Episode 3, F11, originally aired February 4th, 1996, written by Jennifer Crittenden, directed by Susie Dieter, the first all-female writer-director duo combo. Yet to see that. This is the first time it happens.
It's very interesting. I did not know that, but a lot of stuff about this episode seems to
It only took them 140 episodes to do that. There's still problems now with that, so I guess I shouldn't be too harsh for them doing it 20 years ago. Let's see, finished 64th in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 8.8, fifth highest rated show on Fox this week, following The X-Files, Beverly Hills 90210, My Cousin Vinny, and Married with Children. Are they talking about My Cousin Vinny the movie?
I believe so, yes.
There was no My Cousin Vinny television show, was there?
I really hope not. I mean, that would tarnish the wonderful image of My Cousin Vinny, which is a fantastic movie.
The movie is good. I think it's just talking about the movie. I can't find anything of a television show that I would have known about, but regardless, the movie did good that week. Did well in the ratings. I mean, it's a good movie. I don't blame it. The couch gag. The living room is bathed in black light. We get some funky guitar, and then Homer turns the light back on and everything is back to normal.
Wow. Yarp.
Yeah, it's
it was creative. It just, wasn't wow creative.
Blacklight humor kind of might have aged poorly. Episode guest stars Tom Kite as himself, professional golfer Tom Kite, who does actually a pretty good job as like a exaggerated funny version of himself.
Yes.
The episode begins with the family watching television. They're watching Bumblebee Man, laughing at Bumblebee Man hurting himself, which I think is most Bumblebee Man, right?
Yeah, that seems to be kind of his shtick, is harming himself in some way.
Yeah, and I think this is actually, this seems like just like a dumb thing to get the episode started, but I think this actually is really smart because it firmly establishes the family as a middle-class, blue-collar, hey, we enjoy physical comedy family. They are not, it is not highfalutin, it is not high art. It is low art.
Yes. Oh, well, actually, okay. Most of the time, yes.
It's Bumblebee Man. He hurts himself.
Yes.
That's Three Stooges.
He hurts himself. That's true. I swear there was an episode, though, where he stops and does something else. Maybe it was the time he popped over to the news. And it was when Ken Robin couldn't pronounce Kuala Lumpur.
Yeah.
And he could.
There are multiple times Bumblebee Man does kind of break character and presents us like smarter figure. But I mean, like, his show in general is a Three Stooges. It is the Looney Tunes. It is physical comedy. And it establishes right away, that the Simpsons, that is what their deal is. You know, they don't, even though the Simpsons as a show is very smart, the Simpsons as a family is average, which is important for the context of this episode.
Yes.
We get Grandpa deciding he needs to, quote-unquote, fix the television.
Dios no me ama.
I want to see what's on the other broadcast. Where's the oscillator on this thing?
No, Grandpa, no!
Darn it, what does this do? Oh, I'll make my adjustments here and...
The television bites the dust, and Grandpa is left by himself back at the retirement home, deservedly.
That's true. When you destroy TV, you destroy life. Therefore, you get kicked out.
And the family is like, well, everyone except for Marge is overjoyed because they get a new TV. And that is the, I think, another, there's a lot of things in like, that are in, like, the margins of this episode that are really, like, funny and assumed and don't, they're not said, but they tell you things about the family, like the fact that the moment a television is broken, their only television, Grandpa is, the person who destroyed it, is abandoned, and they immediately, that same day, drive hundreds of miles? To
277 miles to Ogdenville.
Well, that is at that sign. They pass multiple.
True, we don't know how long that's.
They pass multiple.
Well, that's
signs.
The first sign they pass.
No, there's that is the third sign they pass.
Really?
The I can't remember the first one. The second one is former Japanese internment camp, and it's 90 miles, and the first one is like 60 or something. But it's like so it's over. Like they don't get to the Ogdenville sign, and it's like mid afternoon. The sun is on its way down, and it is getting dark by the time they get to Ogdenville to the outlet mall, which Marge's joke in the car when the kids are talking about what kind of TVs they want is, we can't afford to shop at anywhere that has a philosophy. Which, that pretty good, pretty good. The outlet mall has many televisions to choose from, not necessarily ones you've heard of, per se.
Look at these low prices on famous brand name electronics.
Don't be a sap, Dad. These are just crappy knockoffs.
I know a genuine Panasonic's when I see it. And look, there's Magnetbox and Sony.
Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. Those are all superior machines. But if you like to watch your TV, and I mean really watch it, you want the Carnevale. It features two-pronged wall plug, pre-molded hand grip well, durable outer casing to prevent fall apart.
Sold. You wrap it up, I'll start bringing in the penny.
The durable outer casing to prevent fall apart.
You got
to
prevent that fall apart.
That is a fundamental requirement of a television, I think. You don't. It has. Well, it can't be falling apart. It needs a case to not fall apart. Unless you're one of those rich people that has the like wide the flat screens with no outer casing, and it's like the form factor is so small that it doesn't have one technically that you
or
see.
Or if you're one of those cool ones where like all the everything except the actual screen itself is hidden away like in the wall or something. It's just like a screen pasted onto the wall. Those are fun.
Well, maybe with your rich people money, Matt, you can afford one of those. But I
no.
Oh, how many televisions in your house, Matt?
Televisions?
Okay,
two.
Screens. How many screens are in your house?
All right, let's count here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 for computer or TV monitors.
Oh, okay. All right. Good to know. Got to keep count, make sure I know exactly how many you have. Every time I'm assuming there'll be four more by the time I visit. In next month,
if all goes according to plan.
Okay, good. All right. While Bart and Homer are shopping for a television, Lisa and Marge go to Steppin' Out, which is, I guess, the fashion store at the outlet mall. This is not a night. This is a fair. You live in Orlando, and I used to live there. Orlando has many outlet malls. This is a really bad outlet mall.
Yes, it is. It is. Wow. It is the outlet mall. Like. I assume Springfield has an outlet mall, but they wanted to go to the bad outlet mall where things are much cheaper.
I get maybe, yeah, they just wanted the cheapest place, and Ogdenville has that for them. But they do. Lisa manages to find a legitimate Chanel business suit dress. They call it a suit, but it has a skirt on it.
True. You know, a woman's suit can have pants or it can have a skirt. It's one of those things.
I don't know if we really want to get into the politicization of women's clothing over the years. And like,
I really don't think we do. So let's just say they call it a suit. We call it a suit.
Okay. I'm just going to like, I've read up on like pantsuits and actually how like the radical they used to be and all that. How there's a lot of, whatever. It's very, I don't have the energy actually to talk about it, but it is something. It's $90 marked down from $2,800, which if I saw that at a store, I do not wear women's clothing. If I saw something that used to cost her $3,000 and now it costs under $100, I'd just buy it.
That's true. Someone else will buy it for more from you.
Yeah, exactly. I could resell that. Like, that's just good business. My favorite, like, and then Marge tries it on. It fits perfectly. Lisa has to try and convince her to buy it, and Marge has to rationalize or try and find a way to rationalize her purchase.
Oh, you look so sophisticated, just like Mary Hart.
It fits like a dream, too. But we can't afford $90, even if it is a bargain. It wouldn't be right to buy something just for me. If it were a suit we could all wear, maybe, then...
Come on, Mom, you never treat yourself to anything.
Oh, sure I do. I treated myself to a Sanka not 3 days ago. But this is a real find.
Just buy it. You don't have to rationalize everything.
All right, I will buy it. It'll be good for the economy.
Good for the economy.
Screw you, Lisa, and your advice.
What does Marge say? I treated myself to a...
Sanka. I don't know what a Sanka is. I want to say it's like a drink or something.
Okay, Sanka is coffee. It is a brand of coffee.
Okay.
That's weird. It's Marge. So, like, it's decaf coffee, actually. So, that is...
Ooh.
Like, that, I know. What's the point? But Marge is, like... has to stretch herself to her furthest limits to let herself buy a really nice dress that is at a steep discount. And she does look great in it. Like it, and actually Matt Groening, I think it's mentioned that he wasn't sure how clothing like that would look in The Simpsons. Because if you look at all the clothes for all the family members and pretty much all the characters, everything's very simple. You know, it's like two colors, one color. You know, Marge wears one color dress. Homer wears blue pants, white shirt. Like, it's never very complicated. But they make... And you see other... With all the other ladies at the country club later on, you see a variety of what would be theoretically expensive clothing. And they actually do a very nice job of making it look like that. It looks like it's nice.
It does. It's one of... Like you said, they try to keep The Simpsons... really simple to make it easy for them, but you know, sometimes they just have to step it up a notch.
And I think they even say that it made it hard because they had to do all that design work. Like, they actually had to come up with like clothes that looked nice, but I don't know. For this episode, I think it was necessary. If you wanted these people to be believable, rich, haughty, you know, snobby people, you had to believe that they were rich, and rich people wear very expensive clothing that looks really nice. Marge wants to wear it somewhere nice. Like, she has this super nice suit, which that's what I'm going to use the word suit. I'm going to call it a suit, but they use the word suit. She wants to wear it, like, she asks Homer, where is it, like, the opera or the symphony or something like that? And Homer's like, no, we don't. Homer declines. And
obviously, you want to take it to Spurlock's Cafeteria.
Spurlock's Cafeteria. Why haven't we heard anything more from Spurlock's Cafeteria?
I don't know. I have no idea what that even is.
I don't think it's a real place.
Oh, okay, good. Makes sense.
But now, maybe it is a real place. Hmm. No, it's not. It's not a real place. It's a real place in that one episode of The Simpsons. when you Google something from The Simpsons, and all that comes up is Simpsons related things. And Marge ends up, like, she does it. She's like doing chores in it. Like, she's vacuuming, which the vacuum makes their new crappy television not work correctly. And she wears it to the Quickie Mart, where Apu is impressed by her choice of clothing, and offers and is trying to get her to buy a weird zany pen that twirls.
It's true. He the premium impulse items.
That's a good way to describe them. That is pretty much exactly what they are. But while Marge is at the Quickie Mart, she runs into an old acquaintance, Evelyn, who went to high school with her. In this episode, Apu has gas pumps. I don't think generally he has gas pumps, except for those few episodes that he does. What are the other episodes can you think of that he has gas pumps, Matt?
Uh, Okay, I'm thinking there's the one where they blow up. I believe it's season 8, the last episode where they go to military school. Or is that no?
That was the one where Skinner goes back to the military is when the gas station blows up. But that, I don't think what was that episode called?
You're right. It was
where Skinner gets fired.
Sweet Seymour Skinner's badass song.
Yes. That one. But isn't there? There probably are other ones I can't think of at the time. But
there probably are. But those are the only one that popped.
There's Apu. They needed the Quickie Mart to have gas pumps. So for this episode, the Quickie Mart has gas pumps, and her acquaintance from high school doesn't know how to pump gas. So Marge helps her out.
Is that you, Marge Bouvier from high school?
Yeah. Hi, Evelyn.
How about that? Marge, you look wonderful. And to think I heard you married Homer Simpson.
I did marry Homer.
Come, you must show me the pumps.
90% of the time, if the gas isn't pumping, this is your problem.
Automotive skills and fashion sense. Well, you've come a long way from the girl I knew nothing about in high school.
We ran with different crowds. You had your debutante balls and skinny dipping. And I had my home shoe repair course.
Oh, Marge, you haven't changed a bit as far as I know. Say, why don't you drop by the country club tomorrow? Oh, and bring the family!
You there, fill it up with petroleum distillate and re-vulcanize my tires post-haste.
I had to include the Burns bit.
Well, yeah, I mean that's the thing.
It's very vital.
Yeah, revulcanize those tires all the time.
It is a very old gas pump like that. That's a very old style. Of course, I didn't start pumping gas till the aughts, so I don't remember when they actually switched over to the kind of pumps that most people are
definitely using. Before I started driving.
Yeah, exactly.
Which was 99. So. Everyone had at least digital pumps by 99.
Not everyone. The corner store out in the woods in Ocala, near the Ocala National Forest off Forest Road 8, they had those style pumps up until like 3 years ago.
Wow, that's terrifying.
They also watered down their gasoline, so everyone knew not to get gas there because one, it was very that's expensive, awful. And two, everyone kind of like everyone who lived in this, like no one ever got gas there unless it was an utter dire emergency. Shout out to anyone who's ever gone to Buck and Doe's in the middle of nowhere, Florida. If you don't even know the name of that store, I want to hear from you if you're a listener. So Marge is invited to the country club and she's excited. She gets to wear her fancy clothes to a fancy place. You can see it in her behavior that she's nervous. She doesn't want to disappoint people. She doesn't want to be ashamed of her or her family's behavior, which we've seen this before from time to time, kind of in more micro situations, right? You know.
Oh yes, Marge is always slightly embarrassed by her family, but in this episode, they really kind of turn it up.
Yeah, it's more definitely like not she's embarrassed by something Homer is doing, but by her family, by her social status. And we see the first part of it when they're about to leave.
Comb your hair. Homer, I don't think you should wear a short sleeve shirt with a tie.
Oh, but Sipowicz does it.
If Detective Sipowicz jumped off a cliff, would you do that too?
Oh, wish I was Sipowicz.
Do I have to go? That country club is a hotbed of exclusionist snobs and status-seeking social climbers.
I've told you, I don't like you using the word hotbed. Please, Lisa, we so rarely get to do things like this. And everybody, please, be on your best behavior. Bart, no grifting.
Aw, raspberry.
No
grifting. So hard to not grift.
We get another Dennis Franz NYPD Blue reference in The Simpsons. Which, that's the Sipowicz. I don't know if you knew that, Matt, but... That's.
I actually did.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you knew about if you were. Did you watch NYPD Blue?
I did not. That was a little before my time.
Okay. Well, I think it's just funny that they keep fitting Dennis Franz back in. I Wish I Was Sipowicz, which Dennis Franz ends up playing Homer and Homer Badman. It's like a snake eating its own tail at some point. But you see that Marge is critiquing her family, trying to, like, she is obviously trying to cut, like, head things off the pass before they even get to any point. She doesn't want them to be, she wants to be approved of. She wants to be considered high class. And I think it's all triggered by that suit. They go to the club and they're greeted by, there's a security guard at the gate. Marge explicitly states, "We're not poor."
It's true, because you got to tell people that, because otherwise they always think you're poor.
Immediately, if you don't say, "I'm not poor," they go, "Oh, you must be a poor person." But, like, it's... Do you think this is in Marge's character?
It comes and goes. It's one of those things. Marge is, as a character, is very obsessed with social propriety and wants to make sure her family fits in with the norm. She's very Hank Hill in that way, reference our King of the Hill episodes that you get if you're a Patreon subscriber. But that's kind of her thing, and she wants her family to be seen as middle class. I don't think she really wants to be seen as rich, but, you know, at least middle class enough to have some upscale interests kind of thing. She just wants to be average, and her obsession in this episode seems to be having them not be seen as poor, more so than being seen as rich.
She wants to fit in.
Exactly.
And it's, like, you've seen, there's certainly other episodes where Marge's like, "I want to go to the opera," or "I want to go," you know, like, in Streetcar Named Marge, she wants to do something. She wants to go out. She wants to be part of culture. And this is certainly that. It is, she wants her family to be more than what they are. She wants to, like when she says, "My shoe repair class," you can kind of feel the shame when she says that. Like, it is...
Which is silly, because that's a very important class that everyone should have to take.
I was going
to
say, like, if my high school had offered shoe repair, like, things that were, like, I wish I had taken auto repair courses in high school. I wasted my time with stupid classes that I don't remember anything about. If I'd taken auto repair, I would be able to actually know how to fix my car. Maybe. It's a hybrid.
Well, not your current car.
No, I probably wouldn't know how to fix it still. But the... Like, you see this with Evelyn and all the women at the club. Like, they don't cook for themselves. Like, Evelyn doesn't know how to pump gas. Like, they pay someone else to take care of these things. And Marge has intimate knowledge about all these things. Like, that is basically what Marge is. She's a caretaker. Like, she knows explicitly, like, how to fix. Like, they outline it when she's changing what that suit looks like. You know, it's... She is so much not
it's
like
really
that.
Impressive.
Yeah, it is. But she wants to be like that, where she doesn't have to do these things for herself, even though she's just not, like, they don't have enough. You have to be a rich person to effectively have that lifestyle. They are let in to the country club, and they are very impressed by everything they see. It is a very nice place. Like, it's beautiful. There's beautiful landscaping. The country club is huge and looks really nice. But Homer drives on the golf course and narrowly misses hitting Krusty, who is basically, like, Krusty takes a lot of punishment in this episode.
It's true. Krusty is, I believe, he's almost run over. He is hit in the head with a golf club, and then he has stepped on with golf cleats.
Yeah, that's so,
As Krusty says, he knew his kind weren't wanted there.
He means clowns, right?
Yes.
Clowns. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But with that, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we get to see Marge meet the women of the club for the very first time. And she basically says hello, and then it kind of goes downhill from there.
Pleased to meet you. You look like such a happy bunch of people.
That's the trouble with first impressions. You only get to make one.
And we are also introduced to Marge's nemesis for this episode, who is basically a meaner version of us. Says the things that we obviously think.
They are... Like, I want to say that the episode does, like, a fair job at portraying these types of people, rich people, basically upper class.
Yeah.
But
who are always trying to tear each other down.
I don't think that's necessary. They wouldn't say it in front of her. They would wait for her to leave. I think, for the most part. Like, they might say some of these things, but I think most times the bad types of upper class people that I've encountered in my life generally don't insult you to your face. They're too polite. Like, they are generally polite.
That's true. Politeness is how you know they're going to do terrible things to you. If they're evil to your face, you know you're okay. But if they're a jerk behind your back, you know at some point you'll be sloughed off like the poor person you are.
There's good rich people.
There are.
The types of rich people like that are in this episode are generally, I think, I can't feel bad about laughing at them or not liking them. It's impossible for me. Like, I am much closer to the Simpsons than I am the country club people. So I don't really feel bad about laughing at jokes at their expense. Marge, it's strange. Like, Marge, I think, is so accustomed to dealing, like, just accommodating other people, right? Like, that's what she does.
That's kind of her thing. I think there are two things that are at play here. This comes up in several episodes, actually, including a more recent one, where Marge just wants a cool group that she can feel a part of. She spends almost all of her time taking care of her family. She basically just wants a group of friends that she can spend a little bit of time with. There's one episode where she joins a group of women who wear red hats. You forget why. There's also a group of women that she met with when Bart was young, and she stopped hanging out with them because they were a bad influence on Bart. Those are the only ones I can think of off the top of my head. But basically, Marge just wants friends, and she's kind of willing to do anything to be a part of this group that she's found.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And, like, I would not describe that the environment that she's, like, all the interactions we see Marge with all these women, it seems awkward every time to me. Like, it always seems uncomfortable.
It's true. We get to see very few interactions, but there's basically the only things we get to see are Marge thinking about what she's going to do, the mean woman, I believe it's Susan, cutting into her, and Evelyn complimenting her. That's pretty much all we get to see. So it's always at least a little bit awkward, because one person is trying to make her feel good about herself, another is trying to make her feel bad about herself, and Marge herself is basically trying to balance the two.
Yeah, it's just Marge is certainly like, she's acting like they are super accepting of her, but I think it's just because of the fact that she's just not so, she has so little like social interaction with, I don't know, her own peer group. She is pretty much accepting of any interactions.
That's true. She's basically willing to look past all the mean things just to be part of this, which is a little weird, but it kind of fits with who Marge has been up to this point.
Yeah. I ask that question because there are some people, I always, you know, read all the news group reviews, and they're like, it's so out of character for Marge. I'm like, it's not really that much out of character for her. I think in the general canon of The Simpsons, I feel like it is pretty spot on.
I would absolutely agree. But while this is going on, basically the entire time this interaction has taken place, the rest of the family is just kind of sitting there looking out of place. But luckily Evelyn says, oh, they can, you know, wander around the grounds and do whatever they want, which Homer takes to mean, let's go sit in the car while your mom's doing a good job of fitting it. We find out that they don't do that, but only when we get back to the house. And Marge is super, super excited about how everything went.
Didn't everybody have a wonderful time? I thought it was so opulent, like the Playboy Mansion, but non-sexual.
That place is weird. A man in the bathroom kept handing me towels till I paid him to stop.
Should have held out longer, boy.
The rich are different from you and me.
Yes, they're better. Socially better. And if we fit in, we can be better, too. So today, while the rest of you were out being different, I did a very good job of fitting in. So good that Evelyn gave us a guest pass. They might even ask us to join.
Boy, Marge, you must have really done a number on those rich suckers.
Don't thank me. Thank my beautiful new suit.
So, yes, remember that the rich are better in every possible way than the poor people. So you should always strive to emulate them, even when it's not in your best interest. Huh, that sounds familiar.
Matt, that recently. Matt, come on. I don't want to get...
Sorry.
Please.
I can't remember it anyway.
Okay, good. I again, Marge is... She's found a peer group that she wants to be a part of. And so she's automatically, I think, elevates them. It doesn't really... I think that she is tired of going to monster truck rallies, whatever. The stuff that Homer and the kids like. She wants to aspire to something more.
That's true. Marge likes the more boring things like apron festivals. But sometimes things like apron festivals are just too exciting for her. But this apparently appears it to be right up her alley. When they go back, which of course they do, we skip ahead when they go back, Lisa is basically overcome by the thought of horses. She hates being around the rich people, and we get to see, actually, it looks like Kent Brockman's daughter being a total horrible rich person and basically throwing her food on the ground when she gets a bologna sandwich instead of an abalone sandwich, which how dare they make such a faux pas. But
come on, Matt, you've never ordered an abalone sandwich and gotten a bologna sandwich. That is the... It ruffles my feathers every single time.
It ruins your whole day is what it does.
It does. It destroys my happiness.
It does. It destroys all of our happiness, Rob. We can feel it coming off of you. Mm-hmm. It's quite, you know, distressing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But of course, Lisa immediately after this sees the horse ride by, and that's it for her. She doesn't care anymore. She's like, I've got horses. I can be happy. So if any rich person is ever looking to take over Springfield and all that's in your way is Lisa, all you need is some horses and you'll be fine. At this point, we also get to see Marge playing bridge, which is quite impressive because I sure as hell have no idea how to play bridge. Do you know how to play bridge, Robbie?
I'm not sure if she, I think she's playing bridge. It's either bridge or hearts. I think it's bridge, but I'm not positive. I don't know how to play. No.
Oh, yeah. It could be either.
Those games are pretty, they're just trick taking games. I think once you, if you played it like two times, you'd probably immediately go, oh, okay, I know how to play now. But it's intimidating at first, but with modern board games that actually have interesting themes, why would I want to play bridge?
Because all you need is a deck of cards.
I could just play poker.
Well, yeah, but that's... Bridge is more interesting for some reason.
I
play Baccarat, the thinking man's game.
I can play D&D. I don't need anything. I just need a D20, and we can play some D&D.
That's a good point. Well, a D20 and probably a D6 or a D8, depending on your weapon.
I just take a D20 and just fudge the results. So, like, you get, like, you roll 1 through 6. You just divide it. So, if you need a D6, you just divide it by 6. If you need a D8, you divide it by 8. You know, it's easy. It works out. It's fine.
That's true. Or you can play everyone as John, and then you don't need anything.
Exactly.
Of course, Marge actually wins at this game, which might be bridge, might be hearts.
I think it's bridge. I'm not positive.
Okay. I think there's a joke made about changing suits, and I don't know which game that happens in, but that's probably a pretty good clue to what they're actually playing. But of course, Susan takes this opportunity to basically remark that every time Marge goes to the club, she's wearing that same Chanel suit, which of course is a little weird. And, you know, it's become an obvious point of shame for Marge. She just kind of laughs it off.
They're playing spades, which is a variation of bridge. Of bridge. So yes.
Okay, then. Good to know they're playing a game I will never play for any reason. but at this point, we see Marge get insulted. There's a great joke about Marge thinking different things and going up her hair until it's her hair is doing the thinking instead of her brain. It's a quick visual gag, but I thought it was clever the first time I saw it.
It's very good. I really like it. Why don't you pull it, Matt? Come on.
It was very visual. Except for the last line. It's like, don't ask me, I'm just hair. Your head stopped 18 inches ago. Which we once again see Marge has very tall hair.
She has very tall hair.
While Marge is doing this, Homer is tempted to play golf in the strangest way I've ever seen. Because he puts two balls down, puts his foot on one, and then swings the club at his foot. I don't know.
I've never seen anyone do that either. I want to say he's trying to play it like you play pool, kind of, you know, where you'd like have the one ball and it strike the other.
Or like croquet.
Yeah, croquet is a bit closer comparison, I guess. But
yeah,
don't. I
and then he increases his score instead of lowering it.
Yeah, he tries to cheat, and we get to see Tom Kite. He does a good job. I like Tom Kite in this.
Is he an actual professional golfer? Because I've never heard of him.
Yeah, back in the day.
Oh, back in the 90s.
Yeah, he at this point he's probably long retired, but he's only 66, so he's not that old.
He'd probably play on the senior tour if he wanted to, but you know, but he's actually really good here. He's one of those guest stars who actually plays himself, but it's such a small role that he doesn't have time to be weird about it. It's no Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger moment.
He still plays. He plays in the Champions Tour right now, which is the senior tour.
Oh, okay, good.
So yeah,
good. But he has a good job of basically telling Homer, coaching Homer essentially, and basically gives him a few tips, and then. Tells Homer that all he needs is his own set of clubs and just stay the hell out of his locker, which is a good gag because it's basically you think he's being really nice to him, but he really just wants his clubs back.
Mm-hmm. Homer's very good at golf, though. Well,
he is. We don't see that quite yet, but we basically see that Homer ends up being good at a sport, which is unusual. Good thing in sports so far was when he was good at boxing, just because he had that extra cushion on his head.
He's good at bowling. Team Homer. We just watched Team Homer. He's a good bowler.
That's true. He is good at bowling. Yeah. So he is athletic when it doesn't require a whole lot of movement of his body.
He was good at softball. Homer at the bat.
Yeah. Again, he was really good at hitting home runs. Anything where he has to actually move his body more than a few feet, not so much. But
all
he
has to do is excuses. All I'm hearing is excuses, Matt, about how Homer Simpson
is classifying his athleticism.
Okay,
he's better than I am at all those sports.
Those are all sports. He succeeded at all of them. Homer is obviously an athlete.
That's true. He has good coordination and good body movement, essentially, is what we're trying to say.
I wouldn't go that far. I would.
He does when the plot calls for it.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes he is.
He has plot-based athleticism. Hey, he ran a marathon at one point, too. Anyway, Marge, after that biting insult to her suit, decides she's going to alter it. So she makes some changes into it. She basically turns it into a vest and culottes, which is quite the alteration. So we get to see that, once again, Marge is a rather good seamstress, much better than Homer, as the Florida costume once showed us. But when Marge goes back out, everyone is basically, you know, complimenting her on her stuff. It's funny. I feel like only most of the rich women in this episode are mean incidentally, and basically they're commenting on their own lives, and it makes Marge feel bad about hers. They're not like directly insulting her, except for Susan, because Susan's a bitch. But
language,
you know,
Matthew.
Hey, they say that on this show several times. I am allowed to use those words. But basically, I think it's Roberta.
You don't have to,
at this point,
Matt. You do not have to do that stupid. That's
the affectation.
Yeah, please don't. You don't have to.
Okay, fine.
We know what you're
Roberta
talking about. Thank you.
Her outfit. Yes. So basically, at this point, we've had everyone be marginally nice to Marge. Evelyn and Roberta have both complimented her on several different occasions. So really, when you get down to it, it's just that these women are not 100% aware of Marge's economic realities, and then there's Susan, who is just awful. But basically, she gets in quite the mean dig at her, but luckily Evelyn is there to cushion the blow.
Oh, don't worry, Marge. Her idea of wit is nothing more than an incisive observation humorously phrased and delivered with impeccable timing. I'm sure you'll be a smash at the ball, and I just know you'll have a lovely new outfit.
So, yeah, at this point, you could interpret that as being mean, saying, oh, you'll obviously have a new dress. But, you know, it's one of those privileged things that we're always trying to get people to check.
Yeah, I don't. I think you're right in that they aren't like there's only. Yeah. Was it Susan is the mean one? And they even kind of temper that a little bit at the end. But it is, I think what this episode is honestly portraying is that the Simpsons are what they are. You know, they can't, even if Marge wants them to be better, quote unquote better, they can't. Like, it is, their reality.
It's one of those things where
their reality
they would
are
have
so
to change
different.
Themselves intensely.
Yeah, like, and they just, like, the they do not make enough money for it to work out. It's that simple.
For that lifestyle, correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Poor Marge is looking once again downtrodden. And then we see Homer, who is demonstrating his great golf skills by chipping golf balls into the toilets, which just, what a waste of golf balls.
Well,
because I really don't want to use them after they've been in the toilet.
You just get them back. Just reach in there and grab them.
Yep. That's what you would do.
Mm-hmm. The golf balls are expensive.
Of course. They are. That's why all the kids used to dive into the ponds to get them back, risking life and limb for 50 cents a ball. But we see, of course, the entire nuclear power plant is wired for closed circuit video. So Mr. Burns and Smithers are watching Homer, and they're very excited, thinking that, oh, Homer's pretty good. Maybe he can give Mr. Burns a run for his money. And we find out that Mr. Burns played against Elvis and Richard Nixon. And then Mr. Burns proceeds to get Homer confused with Richard Nixon, calling him Homer Nixon, which actually that was a good joke. Mr. Burns wonders if they're related, and Smithers says, unlikely, sir. They both spell and pronounce their names differently, which is what happens when it's a different name entirely.
Yeah, it's not the same.
Nope. But of course, Mr. Burns is excited that someone may be able to beat him because he is an incredible golfer. That's one thing we learn here. Homer is, of course, extremely excited at this and has his theories on how it's going to go.
Oh, this game could mean big things for me, Marge. If I beat Mr. Burns, I mean really wallop him bad, I'm sure to get that big raise I've been gunning for.
All right. But if you win, don't make a scene and dance around with your woohoos, please. We can't afford a single slip-up. They're judging us.
It's true. They're always judging you. Hey, Homer's like, oh, I have to beat him. That's how I get respect for Mr. Burns. Yeah. I have to really wallop him in golf.
Yeah, people like Mr. Burns always love being beaten and humiliated or humbled. They really like it.
It's really their thing. But at this point, Marge is basically trying to alter her dress once again so that it looks like a completely different one, which would be tough. But Lisa is in the room, and she is being an 8-year-old girl. She is jumping on the bed, screaming about how much she loves horses. And when Marge doesn't pay attention to her because she's trying to concentrate on something, Marge yells at her. And I get the feeling that you're supposed to feel bad for Lisa in this scene. But no. Lisa was being incredibly annoying, which, you know, it's one of those things where we don't usually see Lisa being a little girl. But when it comes to horses, that's one of the things she does. And Lisa has a very interesting episode in this one because she goes back and forth between, you know, 8-year-old girl and the voice of the writers a lot of the time, which I think is very interesting.
Well, I don't think I feel bad for either for Lisa or Marge in this. I think it is merely kind of an honest. It is Lisa being an excited 8-year-old girl about horses, which I can recall a time in when I was a child where I would corner some unlucky family member and talk to them about Pokemon for hours, and I'm sure they didn't like that whatsoever. So I can understand kids can be annoying sometimes, but they just don't realize it. They just are so, and a nerdy kid who's obsessed about something wants someone to talk to about it, and if they don't have any friends, an adult, the nearest adult, will be the one who has to listen. I think
no wonder adults liked me. I just read in the corner.
I did that a lot. But Marge, I think in this outburst, I think it's just her frustration, her anxiety. Normally, she's always patient with her children. Like, generally, even when they are, like how Lisa's behaving, when they are annoying, she still musters up that patience. How often do we see Marge have an outburst?
Oh, once a season or so.
Exactly. Not that often. Like, it is a relatively rare occasion, especially at this point in the show. So for it to get to that point, she's anxious. She's stressed. She's worried. She wants to prove herself, and anything, like, her family is an obstacle. That is basically what this is. Her family has become an obstacle to that target. That is what is leading us towards basically what is the climax of the episode.
That is absolutely accurate. And on our way of getting there, at this point, Marge is, of course, she kicks Lisa out, or Lisa leaves when she's saddened by this outburst. And then Marge turns around to finish her alterations, but accidentally steps on the pedal for her sewing machine, which then proceeds to eat the suit. So it is basically non-fixable at that point unless you're Catwoman, which I don't know. That would look pretty cool.
I'm fairly certain we have seen a Catwoman, Batman Returns Catwoman costume on a Treehouse of Horror episode at some point. Marge is actually, isn't she a cat person in that one Island of Dr. Moreau Treehouse of Horror?
Yes, she was, actually.
She's a cat person. Not a Catwoman, like a Batman character, but an actual hybrid animal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I do like her comment there where it's like, there's the only thing you can do in situations like this is laugh.
And then she sits down and is silent.
Just silence. It's really sad. What happens, Matt?
Well, at that point, we go to commercial.
Oh, when we come back. Marge is frantic. She goes to her sisters, hoping that they have something suitable that she can wear. They do not. They have various dresses that either do not fit Marge or are not appropriate for a country club dinner, you could say.
Yes, well, and not to mention there's one outfit in there that one of her sisters says, oh, this was a Halloween costume, but made its way in my everyday rotation, that is skin tight on Marge. I have no idea how either of her sisters ever fit in that.
It's a Halloween costume, Matt.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean she could fit into it.
I don't know. Don't ask me questions. Homer.
Homer. The story of my autobiography. Don't ask me questions.
Yeah. Homer goes and is golfing with Mr. Burns. Burns is, despite his like desire to golf with Homer, he's not pleasant to golf with, which, I mean, it's Mr. Burns. Of course he's not pleasant. But he's, you know, he's constantly egging on Homer. He's making fun of him. He's, you know, trash talking him. And just no matter how bad it seems Burns hits the ball, it always ends up on the green. And it's suspicious, but we don't really have any proof of anything at this point. All we have is basically Homer angry that Burns is beating him.
Oh, a cunning stratagem, sir. It's curving right toward the green, and it's there.
He got to the green in one shot? Oh, can that old man hit so far?
Now keep your head down. Ignore all distractions.
No. I like that you got Tom Kite running away.
I need the feet getting away. Tom Kite escaping after just Krusty's hitting the head with a golf club. Marge goes back to the outlet, like in a desperate search for a dress.
Do you have a Chanel suit or any other high quality clothes?
No, ma'am, but we do have a shipment of slightly burnt Sears activewear coming in this afternoon.
Oh, I give up.
What time and how burnt?
Really, you captured that.
I like to end things on punchlines, Matt. It adds to a nice quality at the end of the clip. We cut back to Homer, and he happens to hit the ball and ends up hitting Mr. Smithers right in the head.
Smithers, what are you doing up here?
What are you doing with this ball? And all those other balls?
There are no other balls. Just these reptile eggs. Oh, step away. They're endangered.
These aren't reptile eggs. You've been cheating. No matter where Mr. Burns hits the ball, you put a fresh one on the green.
Cheating? For me? Good Lord, Smithers, that's patently unnecessary. I'm one of the world's finest golfers. In all the years you've caddied for me, I've never lost a... Ooh.
No, you're not the best golfer here. Wait till I tell everyone about this. You stink.
Homer, Mr. Burns holds a lot of sway at this club. If you would keep quiet about the alleged decades of cheating, I'm sure he'd support your application for membership tonight.
Oh, hunky. I don't care about joining this stupid club.
But does your wife?
No.
So we're...
Poor Homer.
I know, poor Homer. He can't flaunt his discovery. But that is just kind of showing Marge's choices kind of echoing throughout the family. You know, she wants to join the country club, so Homer has to behave differently. You know, and that's kind of what we're seeing in all the family. Like, even Lisa with her horses is getting, you know, yelled at from Marge more than she would be.
That's right. I feel like that conflict between Marge and Lisa in this episode is basically set up because it's obvious why Marge would want Bart and Homer to stop doing what they're doing, but Lisa slightly less so. I mean, she probably wants her to pipe down and not ask so many probing questions of the rich, which, you know, Lisa should be asking. But other than that, I don't know. I feel like their conflict, they had to go back to the Lisa being a little girl to add more conflict to their relationship.
Yeah, I think that's, I think that is it's an easier kind of entry point than trying to have Lisa stop questioning authority so much. Marge ends up going to, I don't know where, like the Chanel store in Springfield is, or maybe, or like, we don't know where that is, but we see Marge go to a Chanel store, and she, the next time we see her, she is walking downstairs to go to the dinner in a dress we see in the window. We can assume that it is very expensive because it is high fashion, and that previous one cost $2,800. So we don't. All we know is that Marge has presumably this time spent a lot of money to get that dress. She looks amazing. The dress looks great. It is a purposefully modeled after, like, all those, the fashion is very like that. All the things she wears in this are kind of modeled after Jacqueline Kennedy, which, mm-hmm. you know, she is kind of modeled after to a certain degree. We see more kind of strife between Marge and Lisa.
Come on, let's go.
You mean it's a new dress? Where did you get it?
The outlet store.
Wow, two finds in one store. What are the odds?
Call it Faye. Let's go.
How much did it cost?
$1. Let's go.
With tax or without?
Without. Let me go.
So with tax, how much was it?
Why do you always have to question everything I do?
You look nice is all.
So Lisa is being, like you said, the 8-year-old girl, kind of probing questions and everything. But it's I think the point here is that Marge has to lie. You know, Marge is ashamed of what she's done and is trying to cover it up, to that fact she got this new dress. And you kind of see the facade she's having to put up to keep up with this image she wants to portray is falling down. She can't, it can't sustain itself.
It's true, because basically we all know how much harder it is to lie than to tell the truth. So for Marge, she's basically having to work overtime just to, you know, basically convince herself that what she did was the right thing. And it's generally not working very well.
No, and she's getting, as the episode has gone on, she is obviously becoming more and more prickly. You know, smaller and smaller things are making her upset. They get to the country club. And more criticism of the family by Marge.
Homer, what are you doing?
I'm driving up to the main building. They got valet parking tonight.
We can't drive this up there. They'll see the dent. They'll see the coat hanger antenna. Stop the car. We're walking.
Marge, valets. For once, maybe someone will call me sir without adding, you're making a scene. I'm going to regale everyone with my anecdote. You know the one I tried to say on the radio? Who's going to bleep me this time?
I'm going to pose as an Italian count and get some old lady to leave me all her money.
I'm going to ask people if they know their servants' last names, or in the case of butlers, their first.
No, no, no! Not tonight! No vulgarity, no mischief, no politics. Just be good.
I'm sorry, Mom. I'll behave.
I won't say anything controversial.
I just won't say anything, okay, honey?
So we hear, like, all those things are kind of what makes the family them, kind of. Like,
that's true, and Bart and Lisa's activities were actually beneficial for the world.
Well, I don't know about beneficial. Beneficial would actually, well, something I that mean, would make a
Lisa's
change.
Lisa's definitely is, and Bart, well, you know, who else is the old lady getting leave money to? Her kids, who are probably already rich? Come on now.
Maybe a charity. Maybe Bart, there's a good charity out there that she would leave the money to.
Okay, fine. Bart is neutral then. We don't know how that's going to work out. And Homer's is probably a good thing.
I don't. They're just being themselves, I think, is really, like, it's not even necessarily net gain or anything. It's just, that's who they are. And, like, that's her family. That's the Simpsons. And Marge.
That's true. I think that's, go ahead.
No, you continue.
Oh, I was going to say, I think that's what this episode is really driving at, is it causes Marge to reevaluate what is important to her. Is it fitting in with these new friends, or is it appreciating her family for who they are? And as we'll see shortly, she comes down on what most people would say is the right side.
Yeah. And at this point, Marge is stomping away from the family through the sprinklers because she's so ashamed of their car. and Marge breaks, basically.
You kids should thank your mother. Now that she's a better person, we can see how awful we really are.
Your in-your-face humanity. I like the way Lisa speaks her mind. I like Bart.
That's... Yep. I like Bart. I think that's... Those are all perfect. In-your-face humanity. Good way to describe Homer. Marge admits to having bought the dress with their savings. Cost $3,300. That's a spicy meatball.
Which is way too much for a dress.
That's a lot of money.
You're as poor as the Simpsons are.
I would argue you shouldn't be no one. I would hope that if I was a rich person, a millionaire or something, I would still not be purchasing things that cost that much money. But who knows?
That's true. Take $300, go buy a $300 dress, which is still a lot of money, and then send the rest to charity.
I don't know about the rest. I need to live off something.
Well, I'm saying if you had $3,300 set aside to buy a dress, don't buy that dress. Buy a $300 dress. That's probably the same thing. You know, get a knockoff from somewhere and then give the rest of that $3,300 to charity.
How am I going to buy a gold plated rocket car if I give all my money to charity, Matt? Come on.
Well, you make it a very thin plating of gold. Just barely.
Just drip it on.
Just a few atoms thick.
But don't worry, Marge kept the receipt, so they got all that credit back at Chanel. I'm sure Chanel will happy to give them life's needs. Beer, I believe, what is Homer? Beer and peanuts they sell at the Chanel store? Absolutely.
The beer and gum.
Beer and gum. Gum it was. There you go. But the episode ends... Well, and before we do get a quick peek inside the country club, and apparently the country club was... ready to welcome the family with open arms. They had a banner. They had like a big party. It was basically for them. Mr. Burns had made Homer a awful, awful cake.
He pickled the figs himself.
Oh my god!
Oh god!
Pickle figs. Oh, that sounds so bad.
Basically, the only thing you should ever pickle is pickles, and that goes for things like cabbage as well.
I very rarely like anything pickled, but there are some non-pickle pickles. Non-pickled things that aren't pickles that I do like sweet,
you say so.
Like sweet, like peppers. Like if you pickle a pepper, I will eat a pickled pepper. Pickled peppers are good. Okay. Pickled peppers good. Don't let that rhyme fool you. Pickled peppers are delicious. The episode ends with
just he picked a pickled pepper.
Good job, Matt. You did a good job. The family. The episode ends with the family at Krusty Burger eating a meal that is more their style. I really like the ending in particular.
Hey, did you guys just come from the prom?
Sort of. But you know, we realized we're more comfortable in a place like this.
Man, you're crazy. This place is a dump. Oh man, I'd be anywhere except this place. That's for sure.
I just like
squeaky voice teen
talking over the little end stinger there. It's makes me laugh. Like they counter everything they've said this whole episode. Like, no, you guys are crazy. Why are you? Why do you like this? You should be better. This place is terrible. Krusty Burger this is awful. Why are you here?
Hey, Krusty Burger is a sometimes food, just like cookies.
That's fair. That's fair. Really good episode.
A fantastic episode, I think. It's one of those things that, for those of you who don't want to be political at all, skip ahead 30 seconds. I'm just going to say,
God,
it's very interesting to see the parallels or see the long time issue that the U.S. has had with the strained relations between the rich and the poor. That's all I'm going to say. Just putting it out there.
The episode does an excellent job of, I think, character adding a facet to Marge's character, which there are relatively few Marge episodes. So the ones they do, I think, are very important. Like, it because there are so few of them. Like, there are far more episodes centered around all the other family members. Marge definitely gets the short shrift. And I, because there are fewer of them, I always look at hers a little bit harder because there's just less time for her to shine. So I think this does a good job at emphasizing the forces at work in her kind of her psyche.
That is a good way of putting that.
We will rank it at the end of the show. We do have a submission from my favorite episode, Matthew.
Ooh, good.
This is from Kayla, who was so nice as to even send me an email to remind me that she had already sent one in. Like,
aww.
But I had it. I search every single week and try and gather all the submissions. I do my best. Her answer, let's see. I'm sure you know that it's difficult to pick a favorite episode, but I knew this was my favorite when I realized I quoted it more than any other Simpsons lines besides "Here's your problem, someone set this thing to evil" from Treehouse of Horror. The quotes in this episode are amazing. When shopping the outlet store, Cletus says, "You would wear this to work," holds up a crop top with fringe and rhinestones. Brandine's answer, "Cletus, you know I gotta wear the shirt what Dairy Queen gave me." Exchange kills me every time. Then classics like Homer's, "But Marge, valets, maybe for once someone will call me sir," without adding, "You're making a scene." The Marge's, let's see, "We're not poor." Well, we're not. It's very important. Mr. Burns, "You there, fill it up with petroleum distillate and revulcanize my tires." Evelyn's, automotive skills and fashion sense. "Well, you've come a long way from the girl I knew nothing about in high school." And Marge's, "You don't make friends by winning." In that awesome internal dialogue gag where her hair tells her
Or salad, yeah.
Where her hair tells her that her head ended 18 inches ago. Quotes aside, the episode was one of the few, like Homer Alone, that you see Marge's breaking point. She strives so hard to be something better than middle class to the point where it takes precedence over her family. Rarely do we ever see Marge do something selfish. This episode gives the audience a peek behind the curtain to Marge's secret desires to be financially well off and popular. Also a bit heartbreaking in two senses, that she lets this consume her without considering her family's feelings. For example, when she lashes out on Lisa, and in the sense that it's painful to watch the desperation of acceptance by the upper class. Each time Marge alters her Chanel suit, I cringe a little more inside. The dress was modeled after one that Jackie O used to wear, which is very fitting since Marge Jacqueline Bouvier is loosely based on her. Marge eventually realizes that she's happy right where she is, and that her family makes her richer than anyone at the stuffy country club. And it's the first time in one episode that the writer and director were both female. Guest star Tom Kite parodying scenes from Class Struggle of Beverly Hills, mixed with an emotional and funny plot, makes for a classic episode. Thanks. Thank you, Kayla, for that submission. If you have a favorite episode, please submit it to my SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. That's our email address. I'll read it when we get on the air. Next up, Matt, it is time for comments from the newsgroup.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments to the newsgroupers, where we will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons newsgroup, see what people were talking about the week or two after an episode debuted, primarily what they thought of it at the time. If there's anything else that pops up, I will also talk about that. But mostly reviews, usually. Otherwise, as always, "Where's Springfield? I need this wave file. I need a wave file of Homer going, 'Where's the any key?'" I mean, I understand the need. You got to find your friend at school who has the 3.5-inch diskette that has the WAV files on it, and then get a copy from him. Average grades, Matt.
I'm not surprised. People back then didn't seem to have a good handle on what was good. I mean, they grew up in a rough time for television.
The 90s weren't so bad. They just had fewer options. Hey, like,
true.
X-Files was on, Simpsons was on, Seinfeld was on.
That was in the 90s, though. These people weren't looking at that. They were looking at what they grew up with in the 80s, I bet.
I don't know. They
were judging it based on that.
I don't know. Like, every week it seems that the episodes do something different to dissatisfy everyone. This is not funny enough. This was too out of character. This was blah, 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 blah. I understand why the Simpsons writers probably stopped paying attention to people calling their show bad.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's always been people calling it bad. And maybe Simpsons fans cried wolf one too many times. That's about it. Not much else this week. At least there's no post asking if 15 different characters are gay.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite of Bart's pranks? Always get great responses from everyone. Really appreciate it. See, first from Kyle, my favorite Bart prank is when Willie steals his skateboard and then Bart proceeds to pump the pure cream corn into Willie's hut. The way Willie says, "Arg, it's terrible," as he tries to eat his way out of the cream corn makes me laugh every time. From John, my favorite Bart prank comes from the start of The Last Temptation of Homer. The beauty of it is each parking space is a mere 1 foot narrower, indistinguishable to the naked eye, but therein lies the game. Teachers proceed to argue and come up with some memorable lines, including Skinner assuring Mr. Garoppolo that his mother will hear about this, and a male teacher shouting, "I can't breathe," as he struggles in his car. Perfect way to start an episode. From Brian, without a doubt, the big butt Skinner weather balloon from Bart's Comet. I laugh every time I see it, and it caused one of my favorite Skinner lines, "Ah, got you, my rumpy doppelganger." That's pretty good. Nancy.
Rumpy doppelganger.
Yeah, that's good. Nancy, the April Fool's beer can explosion from So It's Come to This, a Simpsons clip show. One of my favorite moments. I love that it's one of Bart's pranks that nearly killed Homer, not to mention destroying the house. Josh, same answer. Hands down the prank from So It Comes to This, Simpsons clip show. April Fool. Mike's answer, the megaphones from The Secret War of Lisa Simpson. Testing, 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 testing. Austin's answer, cherry bomb down the toilet, soft spot for the classics. Spanky. Jesse's answer, I'm Australian, so it has to be the international calls to find out which way the toilets flush. Sean, surprised nobody said the torturing Mo and everyone over the phone prank constantly asked for a huge ass, Anita Bath, Homer sexual, Maya butt reeks, and droopy wiener. Got me with that.
Oh, good old droopy wiener.
Droopy wiener. We have Robert at Barlow 2711. I'd like to order a wake up call for 3 a.m. Yes, for every room except this one. Kenneth at K Allen 42. It's a tie between In the Garden of Eden by Iron Butterfly and Testing. Alan Titus, replacing church music with In a God of Vita by Iron Butterfly. It's Lima Time by Jacket John HTX. Who was Bart and how did he manage to write his name in solid cement? That's a good. I like that. Barney at Barney Lee. When Bart pretended he was a mobster intent on killing Marge after she was eavesdropping on calls with the baby monitor. And then poor Milhouse gets clocked. Midnight Philly at midnight on third day. I'm a stupid moron with an ugly face and a big butt. And my butt smells and I like to kiss my own butt. Good. Brandon at Funny Film Fan. The big butt Skinner weather balloon. I like the ones that combine complex problem solving with childish humor. And finally, Alex at K Whatever Man. Testing. That was a popular answer. What is your answer?
It's the best answer.
Oh, is that your answer, Matt?
It is that. It is definitely the testing. That is fantastic. I loved that joke the first time I saw it. It doesn't really work in terms of physics, but, you know, the destruction that it wrought
was saying,
perfect.
Are you saying that you can't just stack up, like, 50 megaphones and amplify sound to the point where it destroys the sound?
Unfortunately, that is what I am saying.
Oh, that's really disappointing.
I know.
But that is also my answer. I also love the testing. The April Fool's beer can is also really great. I want to go big. Let's have Bart destroy as much as possible. Next week's question. What is your favorite Marge quote?
Oof. Tough one.
I know we've done Marge episode, maybe a Marge moment. I don't know if we've done Marge quote, but even if we have, we'll do it again. I will post this question all of our social media places, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, on Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Like, follow, subscribe, join the conversation. Social media words. Guess what, Matt?
What's that?
It's time for the new Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The new Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for the season. Whoever loses has to eat, or at least attempt to eat, 64 slices of American cheese in one sitting. And hopefully,
it's gonna be
rough. Hopefully not go blind.
Ideally not go blind.
I'll start us off, Matt. Are you ready for an easy question?
Sure.
Okay, these are all from one episode. I chose all from one episode. That episode being The Father, the Son, and the Holy Guest Star.
Oh, God, it's been so long since I saw that.
Your easy question.
All right.
In The Father, the Son, and the Holy Guest Star, Bart and Homer are both trying to convert to what religion?
I believe it's Judaism.
Is that your final answer?
Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking of the wrong episode. No, Catholicism. It's okay. This one I actually have seen. Sorry, I'm thinking of the one where they had Krusty's Bar Mitzvah on TV. Okay, no, this is better. Yes, Catholicism. Final answer.
Okay, that is correct. That was a close one, Matt.
Whew.
But theoretically, it's better to miss the easy question and get the other ones right, but...
Technically, yes.
I'm ready.
All right, you ready for your easy question?
Sure.
All right. In the episode EIEI Annoyed Grunt, what company tries to buy Tamako?
Is it Marlboro? No, not Marlboro. It'd be Laramie.
There you go. Laramie cigarettes.
Yeah.
High extra tar.
Yeah, it would be the Simpsons Marlboro, basically.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, your medium question. Who guest stars as Father Sean?
Father Sean. Oh, Liam Neeson.
That is correct.
Whew. That was a close one. I almost said Kiefer Sutherland. I'm like, no, he's in the 24 episode.
He's actually in three different episodes.
Right. That's the one I remember him from. That's where he plays himself. Isn't he also in like the Departed spoof?
Yes, I believe so. He plays a convict, I think, in an ex-con who paints, I think. I can't
remember. That was Kiefer Sutherland, really? The Pokemon.
Yeah, I think that's him. I want to say it is.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, I think so. What's my medium question?
All right. I'll look that up while you answer the question. In EIEI, I know I grunt. Why does Homer have to leave town?
It's Michael Keaton, by the way. Not, that was wrong.
Oh, okay.
Why does he have to leave town?
Yes.
And go out and start a farm?
Mm-hmm.
Dear God. I don't remember. He has the mafia's mad at him.
The mafia. Yes. The Simpsons mafia. Okay.
Springfield mob. They have a mob. Fat Tony.
That's true. Actually, they do. Yeah. Good old Fat Tony.
Fat Tony's angry. I don't know, man.
Answer?
It's a guess. I don't know.
Okay. No, actually, that's the one with the dueling episode where he challenges the Southern gentleman to a duel and runs away to, get away from it.
Those are the what? Okay. What season is this? Is that one from, Matt?
That's a good question. Season 11.
There you go. That's my I'm not going to know much from that one. Okay, your hard question. What rock band has converted and is performing at the Christian Youth Festival?
Ooh, okay. What band converted? What rock band? It's amazing how often I just skip past these things, don't even pay attention. I'm going to say Metallica.
That is incorrect.
Aw.
It is Quiet Riot, now known as Pious Riot.
Oh, that's a good joke. It's good to not remember things sometimes.
If only they had actually gotten Quiet Riot to the voices.
Yeah. All right. Your hard question. It's a tough one.
Oh, good. I'm sure I'll know it with the episode I haven't seen in probably 5 years.
You might. What does Marge attempt to sell alongside the Tamako?
No one. I know that everyone, like, is it cookies? Cookies.
Is that your final answer?
Yes,
Robbie?
Cookies. That's my answer. I don't know.
I'm afraid that is incorrect. It is mincemeat pies.
That sounds really good.
It does, right? It's actually berries. British things are weird.
I want a pie. I like all pies. I can do with any kind of pie. You give me
pies are pretty awesome.
Pies are really good. It's okay. So Matt continues destroying me, hit me where it hurts. Early teens episodes,
not intentional, really.
Just do season four, Matt. Okay, from now on,
you season can only... four over and over and over again.
Yeah, only from season four. That's the only season you're allowed to. Four. I'll allow season five too. How about that? Four and five. I'm nice like that.
You're so generous.
I am a generous man. I do have a bonus question for you. At least a few. These are from John. These are all from the episode "Hello Gutter, Hello Father."
Okay,
that's the one where Homer bowls a perfect game.
Right.
When Homer bowls a perfect game, Lenny and Carl take the names Pooh and Ass. What three letters does Homer pick?
I don't know, but
HJS. Just his initials. Just his initials. Okay, this is the other question. Homer Perfect Game Simpson becomes the center square of the game show Celebrity Squares. Name the other eight celebrities who surround him.
Oh my god. It's Rainier Wolfcastle.
Okay. There's one.
Some fat guy named Charlie.
Nope.
I don't know who he is.
No, that's not right.
Oh.
You might be thinking of a different celebrity.
I probably am.
Yeah, they've done it more than once. These are almost all of them are Springfield celebrities.
Right. Okay, so let's go with Springfield celebrities. I don't think Krusty was up there. Let's say Krusty. Sideshow Mel. Kent Brockman, I'm pretty sure, was in there.
No, nope.
Kent Brockman was the host, wasn't he?
No, Kent.
Okay.
Krusty and Sideshow Mel are both there.
Isn't Mr. Teeny one of them as well?
Nope. You have five to go.
Princess Cashmere.
There you go. Four more.
Wow, I can't believe that was right. Bumblebee Man.
Three to go.
Oh wow. Who are some other celebrities? Fat Tony.
Criminals are not celebrities, Matt. I hate that. That's not a good implication.
I have no idea who the last ones are.
The last three are Capital City Goofball. Both Itchy and Scratchy. I don't know how. I don't remember how cartoon characters end up in the show, but whatever. And the last answer is the only non-Simpsons celebrity, and that is Ron Howard.
Oh, of course, Ron Howard. You know, Homer's antagonist.
I actually like that. I like that Ron Howard is... He does a good job.
It's better than his turn in Arrested Development, I'll say.
Hey, I like him in Arrested Development. If you have a theme or trivia questions you want me to throw on the show, I'll do my best. You can give it to any of our Facebook, Twitter, email places I mentioned earlier. We can move on to our final segment. Segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show. Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. All right, Matt. What was the word you used to describe this episode just moments ago? Fantastic.
I don't remember.
Use the word fantastic. Where does You did. Where is a fantastic episode go on this list?
I'm looking. I don't know. I actually. Okay, I want to throw something out there. I'll see how you feel. I like this better than Two Bad Neighbors.
Ooh. That's a tough one. I think I like it better than Lisa the Vegetarian. I think it's better than Lisa the Vegetarian.
I would definitely agree with that. See, the problem I have with this episode, the only problem I have with this episode is it's not quite as funny as it could be. There are some good jokes in there. Basically, the outlet mall, the clothing store with Cletus, very hilarious. The television brand jokes, quite good. But beyond those, I just...
Golfing with Homer. With Homer is funny.
That's true. I almost fell out of my chair laughing when I actually paid attention to it this time. I don't know. Krusty's abuse was kind of funny. Sad, but funny.
Yeah, it is really excellent on characterization of Marge and portrayal of what the Simpsons are, as like their identity. Like it really nails not just Marge, but the family and what, like it's one of those, this is the show. This is the family. This is what they are. And about middle-class families wrestling with identity and stuff like that and aspiring and kind of wanting this to be a part of the upper crust, even though it's not attainable. And like, I think that really does a good job. It like the show as a whole is a lot about the identity of the middle class and how that is portrayed on television. So like, I want to rate this episode highly just because of that fact. Along with, like, the writing is great, and everything it does very, very well. It is not as funny. Like, Two Bad Neighbors is definitively funnier to me than this episode is. And I think Two Bad Neighbors, honestly, does say a bunch about the show as a whole as well. Oh, man.
I would agree.
I would put it right above Two Bad Neighbors.
I would agree, because what's above Two Bad Neighbors? Bart's Comet. Bart's Comet. I definitely think Bart's Comet is better.
Yeah, Bart's Comet is really good. And this episode, I would put it just above Two Bad Neighbors. I would say Two Bad Neighbors is funnier than this episode, even though this episode has its share of laughs. I would say I grade things on a curve sometimes. Marge episodes are hard, and I think this is one of the best Marge episodes, and it does everything it's trying to do.
I would absolutely agree. It gives us a new look at Marge's character. It's an evolution of her character rather than a revolution, which is a cliched phrase, but sorry, I had to. It works really well. It would be a good episode of any show, not just The Simpsons. Let's put it that way.
So no number 10 on our list. The scenes from the class struggle in Springfield. Still number one on our list is Cape Fear. Last on the list, number 132 is Homer's Odyssey. It will be supplanted at some point. It's a matter of time. What is our next episode, Matt?
Next episode. Let's see here. Oh, I scrolled down to season 11. How foolish of me. I believe it is Bart the Fink. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Bart the Fink.
It's time.
Bart the Fink is one of my favorites. Has Bob Newhart in it? and Rory B. Bellows?
Yes, he is.
Bob Newhart and Rory B. Bellows and oh, yep.
And the guy who Dancing Pete, who dances for Nichols down the corner.
Dancing Pete, oh man, I can't wait. Bart thinks great. All right, I think that'll do it for this week. Yeah, it will. I just checked with myself. It will. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. That's MixMasterCereal. Please check out my other podcasts. Handsome Boys Comics Hour is about comic books. And The Serial Fanaticist. It's about everything. Interesting conversations about interesting topics. Matt does not participate in social media. Unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer, you will not find him.
That's true. I've decided to seclude myself for the holiday week coming up. It's Thanksgiving in the U.S. for those of you who are not here. And I've decided that I've engineered a bubble that will keep out any type of radiation except for x-rays. So I'm going to set up a little dish. If you want to get in touch with me, you have to have an x-ray laser. So good luck with that.
X-ray laser? Come on, Matt, why are you making up words? You don't have to make stuff up. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
What's an x-ray? That's not real. I've never seen one.
That's why it's an x-ray for unknown.
Oh, spooky. With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching those episodes.